Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome into Outkick the Show. I am your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you are having a good Thursday. Well, unfortunately, the tragedy that many of us anticipated as a part of the chaotic collapse of our situation in Afghanistan came to fruition today, and 12 American soldiers lost their lives during an ISIS attack. According to the Pentagon, who had a spokesperson, a general, speaking from a Pentagon presser earlier this afternoon, I jotted down a couple of notes. 12 killed, 15 injured. ISIS, two different suicide bombers, they believed, blew themselves up, or one did near one of the entry points at the airport. They think another one may have near a hotel. And then in the wake of that suicide bombing, also terrorists opened fire on our troops, and 12 of them were killed, 15 of them were injured, many Afghans also killed in that terror attack. It's incompetence on an unprecedented scale by the Joe Biden White House. Let me just say this right off the top. I don't root against any president. I want every president to have success. Joe Biden right now, through 8 months, is the worst president that we've seen during my life. I am 42 years old. I don't believe that he can hardly do the job. He can barely read off of a teleprompter right now. If you watch him walking around, he is he's a liability. Let's be honest. He does not have the ability to do the job. I don't think he can make it 4 years. I'm not sure he can make it another year. Kamala Harris is even more disliked than Joe Biden. And all of this is horribly unfortunate. We have been saying that Joe Biden might be Jimmy Carter 2.0. That's largely based on the inflation issues that are confronting our country right now. But I think we're being unkind to Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter was in complete control of his faculties and was able to execute the office of commander-in-chief. I frankly don't believe that Joe Biden can. And I think more Americans would have been aware of this if their entire presidential campaign hadn't been predicated on putting Joe Biden in a basement and waiting for COVID to run its course. As a result, he barely had to talk. He barely had to do any public events. And we're seeing that now. He can barely answer questions. He can barely read off of the teleprompter. And the result is disasters like you are seeing befall us in Afghanistan. This is worse than Saigon in 1975. This is worse than Benghazi. This is the biggest American foreign policy disaster of my life. And it is an ugly incident that did not have to go this way. It's a failure of the Biden administration. I mean, just yesterday, the Biden administration was arguing that they deserved props for how well this evacuation had gone. They got everything wrong. They didn't think the Taliban were going to take over this country. The Pentagon spokesperson said, and I can't believe that this is the real world, that we're relying on the Taliban to help protect our troops. The Taliban are terrorists. They are the people who gave safe harbor to Osama bin Laden. One of the Taliban's top leaders just went on for an interview and said he doesn't believe that Osama bin Laden was actually involved in the 9/11 terror attacks. All of this is madness. And evidently, Joe Biden is supposed to speak at 5 o'clock Eastern today, but he's been silent all throughout the day today. I don't know how this ends. I'm certain that it's not going to end well. We're only 8 months in, and the Biden administration has completely collapsed. Their approval rankings have cratered, and those of us who voted for Donald Trump and said that Joe Biden was not up to the challenge of being president of the United States are being validated in real time. the challenge here is, if Joe Biden were to resign or step down because he's incompetent and incapable of handling the job right now, Kamala Harris would take over and things might get worse. Kamala Harris is arguably doing as bad of a job or a worse job than Joe Biden. She's less well-liked by the American public than even Joe Biden is. It's incompetence on a global scale. And look, I understand some people were angry about Donald Trump and the tweets that he would send, but those tweets would have an impact right now. The Taliban and ISIS would be afraid of what Donald Trump would do to them. Ask Soleimani in Iran about what Donald Trump will do. If anything, he would rain down holy hell upon them. I would like to see some mean tweets for a change. The Democratic Party has allowed itself to be captured by an effete, left-wing, frankly, emasculated blue checkmark brigade that is only concerned about feelings and thinks that if you send a sternly worded letter to the Taliban, it's going to impact things. Big, strong, violent people are not as impacted by words as we would like them to be. And I say that as someone who makes a living partly as a writer. You need to confront violence sometimes with violence. You need to confront terrorists, not with negotiation strategies, but with a violent response that lets them know that we will not stand for their failures. Look, whether or not you liked George W. Bush, he wouldn't stand for what happened in Afghanistan. Whether or not you liked Barack Obama, he wouldn't stand for what just happened in what has been happening in Afghanistan. Remember that Joe Biden advised Barack Obama against the raid that killed Osama bin Laden. And also, whether or not you like Donald Trump, you have to know that he would not be standing for what's going on right now. Heck, I don't think even Hillary Clinton would. This is a mess. Joe Biden is a disaster. And I legitimately question whether he has the mental faculties at this point in time to be the president of the United States. And I defy you to watch him in a press conference squint and read off of a teleprompter and think to yourself, this is a guy who's making really good decisions on behalf of America, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or an independent. This disaster is absolutely awful. Some bit of positive news, all right? We're going to leave that aside for a moment. And I want to talk with you about a study that will get almost no attention because it's actually not what the Corona Bro community wants to focus on. A major study in Israel has found, based on 76,000 different Israelis, they looked at the doubly vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. They looked at the previously infected, but those who were not vaccinated, that would be me, people like me, and the previously infected who had gotten a single vaccine dose. They found that fully vaccinated but uninfected people were significantly more likely to have a breakthrough COVID infection than people who had been infected and recovered from the disease. In fact, after 3 months, your likelihood of infection among double vaccinated versus previously infected, 13 times higher. That is, people who were getting vaccinated were 13 times higher than people who had recovered from COVID already. And the likelihood of symptomatic infection, that's knowing that you were infected versus previously infected, 27 times higher. It's a major Israeli study. We're going to write it up at OutKick. 13 times and 27 times higher. This is pretty wild. The best way to fight COVID, it turns out, based on this Israeli study, is to have as many people as possible survive COVID and have a natural infection. That is what I had. I had COVID and I've recovered from it, as opposed to focusing on vaccination alone. Again, I'm reading directly from this study. The study demonstrated natural immunity confers longer lasting and stronger protection against infection, symptomatic disease, and hospitalization caused by the Delta variant. That, again, is based on 76,000 people in Israel. They have some of the best data out there in Israel. Natural immunity provides more protection, again, than vaccinated immunity does. In other words, the best way to fight this is potentially to be focused on natural immunity, seeing how many people have antibodies, than to be focusing on vaccinations in general. I got to tell you about making a smart financial decision. Inflation is rising. Stocks are potentially going to start to come down because they're near all-time highs. Taxes are projected to go way up. How do you protect your assets? Something I think a lot about. One way is by buying a piece of farmland today. My family has 700 acres of farmland in West Tennessee between Waverly, encouraged, by the way, you to support everybody out there, Linden and Hohenwald. On Highway 412, West Tennessee, for those of you who know, my family's got over 700 acres of farmland in West Tennessee. My grandfather bought that, retired to a farm as an inflation hedge when he left DuPont, had an eighth grade education, worked his entire adult life at DuPont, moved away to the to West Tennessee, bought a farm, and he did that in the late 60s as we headed into the early 70s as a hedge against inflation. And right now, you can do the same. You can go to farmfolio.net/clay. That's farmfolio.net/clay. Farmfolio.net/clay. To learn more about farmland ownership, you can contact Farmfolio at farmfolio.net/clay. That's farmfolio.net/clay. Encourage you to go check farmfolio.net/clay out today. News and sports. Ryan Tannehill, Titans quarterback, has tested positive despite having been doubly vaccinated. He joins Mike Vrabel, head coach of the Titans, who had also been doubly vaccinated and has tested positive. Let me just say this, and I'd encourage you to go read Armando Salguero's piece that is up at OutKick right now. The data reflects that the vaccine provides relatively limited protection for about 6 months, okay? And then it starts to wane fairly substantially. The NFL mandated all of their COVID policies on the idea that the vaccine was going to wipe out the chance of any unvaccinated person actually getting COVID. That is not, in fact, the case for what is taking place. As a result, the NFL has put in place a system which is nonsensical, and it is not going to eliminate the number of people that are continuing to test positive despite vaccination. So, I encourage all of you out there, look at the data, make smart decisions, go get your own antibody test to see whether or not you might have had COVID. And if you are expecting for football, both college and NFL, to be played without issues surrounding COVID, even though all the players are going to be perfectly safe, and even though all the coaches are going to be perfectly safe, I asked you this question: which is more dangerous, playing football or COVID? 92% of you, by the way, I agree with you, say that football is more dangerous than COVID. There is zero doubt that playing football in the NFL and at the college level provides more danger than does COVID to young, healthy people or coaches who are relatively young and healthy as well. And I think the NFL is trending towards a mess throughout the entire fall with their COVID policy. Frankly, I don't think anybody should have a COVID policy anymore. If you feel sick, you can get tested and you cannot show up at practice. But otherwise, we know COVID is not going to be a major impact. We never had a flu policy for NFL players before. We don't need a COVID policy in any way. That's the advice that I would give. Move on. COVID's not going away. It's going to be here for the rest of our lives. The vaccines are not going to eliminate it. Even if 100% of people had it, look at the data in Israel. There's still going to be massive amounts of people who test positive for COVID. Most people will be totally fine. Some people will have major issues with it, just like the flu. MSNBC is going to pay Rachel Maddow $30 million a year, even though her show is going to end in the spring of 2022. She wanted more time, less focus on the show. I get it. Doing a daily show can be grinding. point out that I do a 3-hour daily radio show and have been doing it for about 7 or 8 years, whatever the math is, a long time, 15 years of doing daily radio. And there are a lot of people out there who are looking at this Rachel Maddow salary and they're saying, my goodness, this is pretty crazy. She is the lion horse, the workhorse, the lion horse. Is that a word? The workhorse. She is the lion of the MSNBC lineup. She drastically outrates everyone else on that network. By the way, Fox News last week, highest rated channel, period, cable or broadcast in all of television. And I would imagine with what's going on in Afghanistan and the COVID mess, it's only going to increase in terms of audience going forward right now. But MSNBC, congrats to Rachel Maddow. You're worth what you can be paid by the market. I am a capitalist. Rachel Maddow notches down $30 million a year. The Pac-12 came out this afternoon and announced they were not expanding. But by the way, the first game that is going to occur that has been announced since the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC entered into an alliance was the game between LSU and Southern Cal in Las Vegas. That is going to be a fabulous game. I can't wait to watch that and see exactly how it goes. But the Pac-12 is not expanding. The Big Ten does not appear to be expanding. And also the ACC does not be appearing to expand. That's because there's not a lot of great options for those conferences out there that are likely to make them very much money. So that leaves the Big 12. What do I think the Big 12 will do? Well, I'll tell you in a second. That's what we call a tease in the business. But first, I want to tell you all about my friends at Manscaped. And you know what? It's important to take care of your body, particularly your crown jewels. And right now, you need to get hooked up with the Lawnmower 4.0. Have you ever tried to trim below the waist and ended up having all sorts of difficulties because you're using a bad razor or because you're using a bad electric clippers? Whatever the case may be, you need to make the right choice. And I'm here to tell you that the Manscaped product, the Lawnmower 4.0, is going to help you. This is the fourth generation. It will be able to use. You can use this, by the way, guys, in the shower. You can help to cause less of a mess. You can also get hooked up here with the Ultra Smooth package, and you'll be glad that you do it. 20% off and free shipping with the code DBAP20. A lot of you going back to college, a lot of you going back to grad school, you got kids, you got people that need to be taken care of. Maybe you got a boyfriend, maybe you got a girlfriend. By the way, they can use this too. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code DBAP20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you. Go to manscaped.com and use the code DBAP20 to get hooked up today. Make sure that you make the right decision there. And by the way, let me go ahead and mention this too. We got a great deal going on right now. Big fight going on between Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley. You can bet $5 on Sunday night. Max bet $5. If you win, you get back a 30-1 payout. So you bet $5, you get back $150. Your buddy can take the other side. This is for new users. How do you get that offer? Go to FanDuel.com/Clay. That is FanDuel.com/Clay, and you will be glad that you did it. 30-1 payout, $5 bet turns into $150 at FanDuel.com/Clay. All right, I said, what do I think the Big 12 is going to do? Okay, the Big 12 is now down to 8 members, all right? Those 8 members are much less valuable without Texas and Oklahoma. I think the Big 12 is going to try to go back to 12. And I think what they're going to do is add Central Florida, Cincinnati, Houston, and BYU. That would be my best guess as to the 4 teams that the Big 12 is going to try to add to the 8 that they have right now. I think they'll go after Central Florida because they're in the Orlando television market in this burgeoning state of Florida. I think they will go after Houston, help solidify more of the strength there with Baylor, with TCU, with Texas Tech. I think that they will add BYU, major international, let's be honest, fan base, certainly a big national brand. And I think they will add Cincinnati. All right. Those are the four teams that I think the Big 12 is going to add. West Virginia would feel a little bit better about having Cincinnati not very far away. You could have a rivalry for West Virginia there. You could have a Florida team to allow West Virginia to recruit a little bit better there. You add another team in Houston, and then in Texas, in Houston, and then you add BYU. Other teams that could be in the mix, Colorado State and Memphis, I would say, maybe, possibly, the Big 12 decides to go to 14. In that case, I think they could look at Memphis. I think they could look at Colorado State. I think they might look at Boise State. There are a lot of different interesting moves that the Big 12 could make. No matter what they do, the conference is not going to be worth anywhere near as much as it was with Texas and Oklahoma, but could they maybe hang on by their fingertips to a designation as a Power 5 conference? Maybe, although I think it's significant that the new alliance featuring the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC did not include the Big 12 in that alliance going forward. I also think it's significant, and I talked about this. I saw the story that the Pac-12 commissioner admitted that every one of the Power 5 conferences would have taken Texas and Oklahoma if Texas and Oklahoma had reached out to them and said, hey, we want to be in your conference. And that's exactly what happened to the SEC. Texas and Oklahoma reached out to Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC. What was he supposed to do? The Big Ten would have taken him. The ACC would have taken him. The Pac-12 would have taken him. And certainly the Big 12 wanted to keep them. Every major conference in America would have taken Texas and Oklahoma if they had had the opportunity to do so. And so that's why so much of this alliance response feels to me like total BS. All right. Absence of total BS. That's the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. Encourage you to download it. Really difficult show today, given what's going on in Afghanistan, but I thought we handled it pretty well. You can go listen to all 3 hours. Governor Kristi Noem was on with us. We talked with Lara Logan, Fox News reporter, war correspondent over the years. She was fantastic, and I would encourage all of you to check out that show. Again, one more time, my name is Clay Travis, DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. We're headed out 1 week from today. We will have a kickoff party for college football in Knoxville with the Tennessee game against Bowling Green. We're going to have a tailgate on the strip. The Outkick 360 will be broadcasting live from the strip. I'll be there going to the game, having a fantastic time. We're going to raise some money for Waverly football. That's the area where 20 people died in the floods in Waverly over the weekend. And then we're headed into Charlotte to go watch the Georgia and the Clemson game. I appreciate all of you. Hope to see a bunch of you at that kickoff event on Thursday in Knoxville. My name is Clay Travis, DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. This has been Outkick, the show.